It's your favourite day of the week.
What day is that?
Not talking to you, Alex, talking to the listener.
Right. So. Is that how this works?
Yeah.
Communicating with your people.
It is.
Do you see yourself as like sort of modern day Jesus? With your disciples?
I saw Kanye. You know Kanye West has been...
You saw Kanye?
What? I saw Kanye.
Down the local boozer.
I saw Kanye's tweets.
He's just broken up with his girlfriend.
Julia Fox. Potentially trying to get her on the podcast.
Julia?
Yeah, Julia.
Oh, yeah. What, yeah. To talk about the breakup?
No, just to talk about being a dominatrix.
Is that what she is?
She's a dominatrix. She's a dom.
Wow.
They call it doms, dominatrix. I think so.
Dominoes.
But he said, to be a leader, you shouldn't be talking. You should be listening more.
I don't think he necessarily does that. He talks a lot, doesn't he? But also, he was saying that whilst, so it's not.
What was I doing just then?
Listening. You were trying to make me cry.
No,
I was trying to make me cry. We know this tactic. We've learned this.
No, hold on. What am I doing now?
Looking kind of strange.
No, listening, because I am a leader. That's right. Say it with me. Jamie, you're a leader. There we go.
Jamie.
You said it here first.
I would follow you into...
Where do you follow me?
M&S to get a...
Sandwich.
A nice sandwich. A meal deal. That's literally the extent of where I'd follow you.
Hey, by the way, Tinder Swindler went down a treat. Wasn't that great?
It was. I enjoyed it. I was slightly coy because...
should we explain what happened?
Try to sack me off. Well, they already know because we spoke about this.
Yeah, but they may not have heard at the end.
Well, if you didn't hear it last time, here we are talking about it again. Yeah, Jay basically phoned me 5 minutes before I arrived at the studio to basically say that he wasn't sure if I should really do the podcast.
It wasn't that.
And then tried to mumble some excuse about the microphones. I was like, you're just nervous.
Did you turn up? Did you turn up and the microphones weren't in the right place?
The microphone worked very well.
Okay.
In fact, better than it ever has.
All right.
Without me there, honestly, I don't think that interview would have... I said about 4 words. I was extra cautious that if I fuck it up, then...
You never fuck up anything. You make everything the greatest.
Don't backtrack now.
I'm not backtracking.
You blow big... fucking wind up my butt.
Blofeld.
Blofeld.
What are you, Blofeld? Hey, guys, listen. Today, very exciting. We have one of my favorite bands on. We have the band Bastille on, which is just incredible. We have Dan and Kyle from the band. I've been huge fans of these guys ever since I actually broke up to...
I know, you said.
Yeah.
It was quite sweet.
Ayo, oh, ayo, ayo, oh, ayo,
it's over. Don't fucking phone me again. I don't know why I've gone in that accent.
Ayo, ayo. Bastille,
that was
amazing.
The song that you broke up to.
I broke up to Pompeii, Bastille, and for anyone who hasn't...
I'm more of a sex bomb breakup.
Yeah, but for anyone who hasn't heard Bastille, no, this is a little snippet of who they are. You'll know this song.
So did you do the breaking up, or did you get broken up with?
Ay-oh,
did you walk in with that playing?
Ay-oh.
Would you sit down, please?
What have
just
I become?
Need 5 minutes of your time.
Why have you become normal?
I don't know. It just happened.
Anyway, very, very excited to have them on. We spoke about touring. We spoke about them coming together. We spoke about climbing up volcanoes in Guatemala.
Guatemala. Yeah, we covered a lot, actually. I really enjoyed the chat.
I absolutely love the chat. And also to anyone who has grown up wanting to be in a band, this is the real insight into it. I do want to say a big thank you to Dan and Carl. If they might be listening. We don't know.
They definitely didn't want to be here.
They did. Yeah. They invited us to the O2.
They walked in, they saw you, and they went, oh my God, fuck's sake. We thought it was
Gordon Ramsay. They invited us to the O2.
They had to.
What do you mean they had to?
We can't go, yeah, we're doing a show in London. You can't come.
Yeah, they could.
Guarantee we'll turn up and go, sorry, you're not on the list.
What? Why would they be doing the guest list?
No, not them, their people.
Who is their people?
I don't know, their agent.
Gotcha.
They're not going to leave this podcast. They're not going to leave this podcast and go, you know who I can't wait to see again? I can't wait to see them at the gig.
Yeah.
Jamie and Alex.
All right, everybody, enjoy the episode. Here's Bastille. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts, the podcast where nothing is off limits. Yeah.
Oh, right. We didn't hear about that before we started.
Yeah, get ready.
Carl, get ready for a roller coaster. Have you ever been to Thought Park?
It's been many years, but I have.
Well, welcome back, if you know what I mean.
This is the audio equivalent of Thought
favorite
Park.
Favorite theme park? What's your favorite theme park?
So I'm not a big theme park guy, but Dan is your man right there.
Yeah. I went back to a theme park like in later life and I was knackered. Yeah, after two rides, I was like, oh God, I don't remember it being this tiring.
It's exhausting.
It's so exhausting.
There's one in just outside of LA called Magic Mountain that is basically, theme park has like one or two properly decent roller coasters.
Yeah.
But only one or two. This is like all that.
Just every decent one.
And we went back, we were on tour and I think decided to get the queue jump pass. And you're right, it's exhausting. Because without the queue is the break that you need between things to calm back down again. Do you remember when we went to the Halloween thing?
So I don't go to any of these things. I'm not.
Kyle's giving me the side eye like he's such a loser.
Yeah, like this story's new to me as well.
So in the States, which for various reasons we spent a bunch of time just for work, they're like Halloween there, obviously really big deal. They love it so much.
Yeah, they love it.
And
they do it really well.
Yeah, they know how to
fully,
do it. Right?
Fully
and
in.
There's like this whole world of like horror houses that's just not a thing here, really. But in the States, you go into this house and it's kind of a maze and it's done up to be terrifying. And you can opt in for either a consensual or a non-consensual
version. I've seen this stuff.
Basically, you walk through and you walk through.
Sorry, what?
Kyle, you involved in this?
I've been to one of those houses.
Are you sure it's horror house and not a horror,
yeah.
A horror house?
I get my words mixed up. Yeah, it's very confusing.
Yeah. God, it was terrifying. Yeah. I mean, I was only in there for 5 seconds, but money well spent.
Wait, so how you go?
But you walk through this maze and people jump out at you and basically try and scare the shit out of you. And it's all about freaking you out as much as possible. But normally, like, they're not allowed to touch you. But if you go into, I think, the non-consensual ones, they're allowed to jump out and, like, properly shake you or whatever. I mean, most people's idea of absolute hell, but this is, like, a real industry that pops up for, like, a good solid 2 months every year in America. And they've obviously got really creative with them. So we went to, after we had a gig in LA, and afterwards we went to, the first two stories I've told all revolve around touring. Makes me sound like such a knob. America, where we spend no time.
You did do it though.
Yeah.
He's done it.
My favorite was you go, just outside of LA.
I know. I was like, favorite theme park. I thought we were going to be like, Chessington World of Adventures.
I'm literally not that guy.
I'm already out of this.
And you know when we got, I think we opted for the queue jump.
Again, what a knob. I hate myself. This is cool.
Wait, hang on. So you then, so they do pop up.
Basically, but like, obviously I grew up with like Chessington World of Adventures was the peak. Thought Park was pretty special. And I've actually still never been to, what's the massive one?
Autumn Towers. You've never been to
Autumn
Towers? Nah. Wait, I want to hear about, so the horror house.
Anyway, so horror houses. The first time we were in like middle America somewhere and a few of us went after a gig, obviously there's a lot of like downtime and it was on the ship and it was absolutely horrible and terrifying.
Carl, were you there?
No.
Carl didn't come.
No.
But I thought, did you not come to, so one time we went after a gig, we went to the Universal Studios one every year, but obviously because it's like fancy and it's all the films and there's loads of them and you walk through and it's kind of stressful because it's just people jumping out at you and trying to scare you. Did you not come that night?
No, so because I'll just go to a bar until they're done.
I was going to ask, where do you go? You're just going to get smashed.
Probably. And create a horror of my own. Just in the bar, whatever bar I'm in, drinking solo is going to be pretty
my
horrible.
Mind is the horror house.
Just rocking on.
Just rock on. How do I get out of my mind? So is that what you do then, LA? So your thing is just going to go, you go to the bars?
I mean, it's not any less douchey than Dan's, actually. Basically, it's all the fun things that we do. Like, obviously, like touring and gigging is very fun, but all the things outside of touring have to be fit in around the gigs and all the promo and the kind of soundtracks and whatever kind of stuff we do. So generally, because they're late night, we'll do a gig and then like the guys will run off to do like the last horror house showing there, and then whoever doesn't go will just like you'll
like
just be at the gig.
Schedule of horror houses, like, right, we need to hit five tonight.
We always plan our tours around the Halloween-ish time in America.
We gotta go to Kansas, they got such a good one there.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Have you heard?
I heard they really fuck you up. Yeah.
But what's better touring then, wise? Do you prefer touring UK or America? Surely America's a bit...
So this has been such a warped beginning of the conversation because we, particularly early days, spent quite a lot of time there, but none of us ever moved there. We had no desire to spend any... Like, obviously, America's great, but we... I've always, you know, we live in London and the other guys live in Brighton and we, you know, this is home
where
we
want to
be. Yeah, totally. So we always like... would spend, I guess when the band sort of took over our lives and we were away loads, that was great. But we always really obsessed about coming home, spending as much time here as possible. Yeah.
It's funny, right? We all have these pipe dreams of like, God, we want to move to America. Or we want to move to like the beach living in California and stuff like that. And especially being in a band and such a popular band like you guys, that would be like a no-brainer in a sense to kind of go over there. But you're saying you want to stay in the UK.
It's weird. So you've got the half of the band in us two that never wanted to be in a band. Which is really weird. Well, I sort of never wanted to be in a band, right?
Okay, so
or never imagined being in a band. Also, from when we first started, I guess we sort of started as a band at a time where there are so many cliches that exist when it comes to four guys in a band making pop music or alternative music or whatever. Mm-hmm. There are a tidal wave of cliches that exist from other bands who've done well that we just sort of made it our business to try and steer away from as much as possible. I mean, the net result of that is basically us just being really negative all the time. Being like grumpy old bastards. I think all those kind of cliches, everything from like performing in our videos to like moving to LA or anything like that, I think we've always just thought, oh, that's really lame. Like, that's been done. I mean... which is ridiculous.
But is that not like where the saying, what is it? You cut your nose to spite whatever. So like you're basically saying, I agree with you. I got told this thing once, right? This is a real nugget that I got told once. Someone said, if you're gonna like set up a business, a brand or like a band or whatever it is, never follow logic because logic gets you back in the same place as everybody else, a place where you don't wanna be. So go against the grain, which you guys did, so you guys consciously said, if we're gonna be these guys four in a band, we're gonna completely change everything that we're doing. That's what you guys kind of said, right?
It was less thought out than that. I think although we wanted success from the band, because obviously fame and success come hand in hand, and we were interested in having success as a band, but we weren't that interested in kind of caught in the whole sort of fame side of things. And I think it was less so that we would have a sit down and go, right, we have to actively go against it. I think we just kind of like-minded kind of stuck together. And also, I don't know, we will have all our friends and families and or girlfriends or wives or like whoever, like, and they were already here. So
I guess we were all like, had all finished uni or like whatever we've been doing and had kind of other jobs and were doing the band like in the evenings and stuff. And so had our lives a little bit, you know, had sort of established our lives a bit more than say if, you know, for artists or bands who sort of break in there, like when they're 16 or 17 or whatever, even young, like that becomes your adult life. And I think we'd already had like a little bit of normality. We had our groups of friends, all those kind of things that we really wanted to hold on to. And when, you know, with us it was weird, we obviously make pop music, so despite trying to break cliches in some respects, we're also like existing in a form that has been done, you know, done to death. But no one expected us to be as successful as we ended up being at the beginning.
Even you guys.
We really didn't. Yeah.
Label and management.
Yeah, yeah. Are you fucking kidding? We're not going to be doing that. You're label as well.
Having grown up in London and been to like a lot of gigs, the idea of us playing Shepherd's Bush Empire was like literally the peak of anything we could have possibly
imagined.
Like
when a teacher has no faith in you, they're like, you're probably going to get straight E's. And you're like, yeah, you're right. And then you come out with straight E's. You're like, what the fuck happened? Nailed it.
That's mad because
so like the last, you know, particularly those first couple of years, we just weren't like versed in what to expect at all, and we weren't that ambitious. Like Carl said, we loved being in the band, we loved making the music and making the videos and trying to create weird little worlds with the songs, but we weren't like striving to be massive or like looking at other bands and being like, we want to be them. We just sort of found ourselves in this really odd, very mainstream place.
Was it all quite, of a sudden. Quite a quick change, like suddenly sort of overnight, or was it more of a prolonged kind of growth?
It didn't feel
like that to
quick
us.
To us, but because we were just kind of like, we were right there in it, and I think we had like a kind of a small following, and we were kind of like just like trotting around the UK, and like we borrowed our mate's mum's car, and it was all just packed in, and then we were driving up, and then staying on front like mate's floors, just all up and down the UK, just for ages, kind of. And I think that there was like a slight influx of fans because it was like quite a lot, a large number, which was great.
Yeah,
that it seemed as though we'd appeared from nowhere,
right?
But we'd been like going at it for a bit,
plugging away for a bit. It was like a couple of years from basically starting the band to us suddenly. It was like 2-3 years, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But which I guess sounds quite quick considering. But we'd started it. It kind of came off the back of me having done like a solo thing, and then I stopped that. We started the band together, and I guess from our perspective, because we were all doing like a bunch of other jobs and then rehearsing all night, and then going back to work, and then tours we'd had to take time off and drive around the country, and it was kind of like we had this weird thing where we sort of grafted DIY style from like the ground up, but we were also putting music online, so it would exist in like on Hype Machine and not Spotify.
What was it like SoundCloud and stuff?
Yeah. So we had this weird dual life of like being able to get the music way wider online,
because
we were playing like every toilet venue around the country,
and
watching the sort of the fan base build. But I think what happened was that we were such an odd prospect for people because it was kind of this cinematic pop music, but we were doing it in a really indie way.
Hello everyone, we are here today thanks to the HP Spectre X360, who are working to uncover the creative process of some of the UK's favorite podcasters, finding out what lessons there are to be learned from their process and how they use a myriad of techniques to enable their creativity, including tech. I would like to welcome HP's ambassador, the iconic, said it, Grace, I've said it, you're iconic, Grace Beverly.
Hello, thanks for having me.
And tell me more about HP.
We love a good HP. Honestly, the Spectre X360 is so sleek and so cool. Honestly, I don't know if you've looked at the kind of specs that it has, but in terms of like, there's a focus mode that dims the background and avoids things popping up from other apps and everything, which is so important, especially to like get creative and everything. Do you consider yourself a creative person?
I think so, yeah. You know, a lot of people, when you talk about creativity, you know, people can visualize things. I have a lot of things in my head. So that sounds bizarre, but I do. I have a lot of things up here. So I'm very creative in my own mind. What I find troubling sometimes is to get it down on paper. So that's where other people sort of help me. So it's all in my head and I try and explain the different things. And I think sometimes what happens with creativity, so the creative side of people is kind of almost pushed to one side, especially when you're younger. And as you get older, you realize that actually creativity is one of the most important things.
So I grew up in a very kind of artsy, creative family and was very much the non-creative one. It was, Grace is not the artsy one. Do not ask her to paint a picture. It will not look nice. I think I just continue. You know when you like learn when you're about 4 not to draw like the sky at the top of the paper? Because like the sky's not just there, it's like everywhere in the paper. Oh, I was just like still drawing like...
Grace, I remember when I saw someone do that. I remember when someone drew it to the grass.
You think they're Van Gogh.
Yeah, and someone drew it to the grass and I was like, hang on, that is sorcery. What? It's not just in the air?
You are so right. The sky does go to the grass. And I think that like, I never thought I was creative. When I got older, I've kind of realised that like creativity comes in so many forms. And the more you can bring creativity even into like the most mathsy reporting sides of a job, the more you can like solve problems in a more, you know, in a more unique and creative way. And also just like think outside the box. Like I think, you know, personally, my opinion of having a business is it's like problem whack-a-mole. Like every day you're like, oh, got that problem. And another one's like, hi. And the whole process of that is problem solving. So if you can't come at that with a fully creative view, it can never be linear. Like it can never be linear. And I think one of those really important things that you said about not being able to get things down, I think that's what makes things like this product so great. The Spectre X360 can just turn it into a tablet. So personally, if I like write a list, it seems like the most boring thing ever. And what I really try to do with that instead is something like a mind map, just to like get my brain going and to associate it with all different parts of the concept.
Yeah, totally. I know what you mean. Okay, yeah. And then you can do that on the HP, right?
Well, you got a pen. You can do anything with a pen. when you're getting creative,
yeah,
if you, for example, need to get something done by a deadline and you need to come up with a concept, do you ever have that? You're smiling as if you're like,
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't like saying that.
The very short time we've known each other, do you think I'm good with deadlines?
Well, I wouldn't like to assume.
You can assume, it's okay. Actually, weirdly, I lie. If I get given a deadline, I have to make the deadline, therefore I have to do it. However, I'm not very good at sort of time management. That's my bad thing.
Well, what I think is really interesting is when you say that about the fact that if you have a deadline, you'll meet a deadline, but if you don't, you won't. I do this thing where I set deadlines for every single task I have, so it doesn't, and it, then it suddenly gets in your head that it's like an actual deadline rather than a deadline that you've like arbitrarily set for yourself.
Yeah.
And so I think that is also super important then, because sometimes you'll get to a point where you're like, I have 1 hour to do this and I need to create something creative, yeah, essentially. And that's when things like focus mode, there's AI noise removal.
So we're doing this across Zoom at the moment. So does that mean that would cancel out other noise around me?
Yeah, it's called intelligent adaptive noise cancellation.
I think that's the sexiest thing you've ever said.
So it automatically kind of mutes any background noise.
What is your favorite thing on the HP Spectre X360 if you had to pick one out?
I think it would be the focus mode, just because that is such an important part of my working process. Like, I have to time block my tasks to get them all done in time. And in that time, we have so, if you think how many apps we have in general, like there's instant messaging, but then there's also everything on social media. You kind of need to be present. You need to be contactable, all of these different things. That to me is so important, because getting into that flow and really just dedicating into like deep work, as it were, is so important. But also very much like blue light blocking, because there is nothing worse than going to sleep and feeling completely frazzled and like completely awake. I do have blue light glasses, but I find that I often forget to wear them. And so if it's actually built into my computer, then I'm going to have a lot more success with that, because I can watch an episode of Game of Thrones, for example, yeah, and then I can go to sleep and I'm not going to feel like I've just had like an optician shining lights in my eyes.
Grace, listen, thank you so much. Guys, find out more about the features of the HP Spectre X360 at hp.com/thoughtful-laptop. Enjoy.
One of the greatest moments of my life, I swear to God, and I said this to Sam, our producer, before, one of the greatest moments of my life, I was at Secret Garden Party. You guys were headlining. I think it was like 2015, yeah, 16 or yeah, something yeah, like that. Yeah. And I was very drunk. And I and it was like the first day, I couldn't find any of my friends. You guys came on stage and you started, and if you, that, and I suddenly saw my friend. Oh. And it was this like euphoric moment. I swear to
that's
God.
So
and
nice.
Still to this day, so nice. It's like, you know, when you go, what's yeah, one of the yeah, greatest moments at that moment?
That's really
funny. It was
bear
insane.
In mind, you've just got engaged. And that's, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
yeah,
it
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, yeah, that was shit. That moment. But you guys, it was because when you said SoundCloud, when you guys were on there, it reminded me, you guys were sort of this name, but still, and it was not confusing, but it was like, who are these?
I guess it was meant to be, because we, like, when it first started, we kind of didn't want people to know if it was a band or an act or whatever.
Yeah.
And all of our videos up to a certain point, like, we weren't in them. We wanted them to be little films. Sure, it's pretentious as hell, but we like it. Part of the wanting to run away from the sort of cliches was to kind of confuse people. And at the beginning, when our music started getting played everywhere and was suddenly really mainstream, we were so shocked. Like, we weren't remotely prepared for that. And I think kind of freaked out a bit. And
does that mess with the heads a little bit?
It did, but I guess our experience of it is we were just touring all the time. So our experience of all that stuff happening, I think to our friends, it kind of, they were seeing us, hearing us on the radio and seeing us, you know, written about and stuff like that. Whereas for us, we were just on the bus with the same group of people playing venues all around the UK and around Europe and stuff. And so, like, obviously you can see the crowds grow and that's amazing. And you kind of hear whatever, like, statistics or sales or whatever, stuff that doesn't feel real. So I guess it almost didn't feel like it was happening to us because it's sort of happening in a vacuum, which is mad.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
That first tour or, like, experience must have been fucking nuts.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. But I think I remember at the time, because we weren't interested in kind of leaning into the fame side of things, all of us were really grateful that it was kind of happening. And I think...
And drunk.
And yeah, and really drunk.
Every day. Just drunk.
all the time. Yeah.
And so it was, you know.
But that's kind of like, it's in a lot of ways can be real Arrested Development. It's like extended university experience or like... Or a permanent stag do, or something like it's.
But that's okay. Because what's interesting there is, like, Carl, you're saying that you guys didn't care about the fame, but you knew it was going to come hand in hand, right? So it's quite an organic growth. So you're suddenly getting paid, you're suddenly getting the fame there at the same time, and, you know, plus booze and things like that. That then must become a sort of confusion in your own mind, because you sort of get to a place where I experienced when I was young, no comparison, but when I did this ridiculous show for so long, you get to a place where suddenly you're like, shit, it's all going to disappear.
Yeah.
And so you're drinking and partying and having a great time, but then you're also worried about the future the whole time, about, oh my God, this actually might go, because you haven't expected this to happen. So then when you get it, you're like, shit, is it going to now disappear?
Totally. You know, we were never like careerists. We never thought, like, here's our 10-year plan. Like, literally, it was like, we've always had this drive to, like, keep making music. So we did, you know, we did two mixtapes into our album. And then when the album was out and doing really well, and we were already sort of writing another one and doing another mixtape. And so it's always been about, like, keeping our heads down and just really obsessing over, like, the next thing and the next thing. Mm. But in a very short term period, like, I still struggle to think further than 3 months ahead in life, just because you...
Yeah, does anyone actually think 5 years ahead? I don't...
I think some people
what
do.
What is that?
You can't. And if you are, what is that? Then you're missing what's right here.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
What's right
then how do you live in the present then? Humans, we don't do that. Mm. We never live in the present. And especially for you guys, experiencing those moments on stage, this, that, it's so hard to appreciate almost those amazing moments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's
especially
mad.
When you're hammered as well.
Yeah.
So we released a bunch of albums and we're touring pretty much nonstop. And I think in a way that was definitely not healthy and probably not advisable, but various things from, like, us just not, I think it came from a fear of it going away. Like you said, it's like, we're so lucky to have this. We never expected it. This is mad. And if we stop, maybe it'll stop. So we just sort of pushed and, you know, toured way more than we should have without a break. And then we got to the end of, like, well, the beginning of 2020, and we thought, like, let's have a break now, let's stop.
2020, yeah. You were that long.
March, yeah. So from, like, basically 2011, 12 to 2020 without a break.
Coincided
at all.
Quite nicely.
It was kind of like it was kind of head down, just getting on with it. And then weirdly, when we were forced to take the break, or, like, you know, when we decided, actually, guys, let's take a bit of time off. That was the first time we'd actually been able to go to kind of, like, get out the machine and be like, whoa, hang on a minute.
Just
like,
looking around,
all these different things. Yeah, and, like, I think, but particularly in, like, I don't know, there'll be, like, a lot of interviews and stuff where people bring up the statistics and the facts and the gigs and stuff. And it's in those moments that we're like, wow, yeah. I mean, of course, I remember we did it, but I've never sort of reflected properly on it yet. And so, if anything, like, we were just constantly in the present. It was like kind of, but so much so that we couldn't actually see what was happening at the time.
Did you guys have a crash when that happened? Because it's almost like you're running down a hill, and then you suddenly stop, and that's when you tumble, right? Yeah. Did that happen or no?
I think like, weirdly, because we knew we were going to stop, it was mad. In pretty much March 2020, I think we did our last gig, and it was with, like, this amazing gig in London with an orchestra, and we all knew in our heads this would be our last show for maybe a year. So we were kind of all career-wise, like, mentally prepared for the break that then the entire world was forced to have. So I don't know if I, like, I don't know how much because you were ready down to that, or down to the fact that there was a fucking global pandemic. Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. Did you guys have like a weird moment? Where it's so funny how as humans work, especially the American way, right? Is so interesting because Americans. I spoke to this person the other day who's an American TikToker, right? Huge on TikTok. And she's like, you know, when I knew I was going to be here, her accent. Is she here?
I was really enjoying that. She walks in.
Sounds really hot.
Walks into shot.
How you doing?
Yeah, Jesus, sorry, I didn't realize she was, where are you? But she's like, you know, and I knew this was going to happen. And then when I write my book, and they're so like about like knowing it's going to happen.
Yeah.
That it's almost when it does happen, they're like, well, obviously this was going to happen. Where the English vibe is so much more different.
We're self-doubters, aren't we? The Americans are so confident.
I know.
Like, let's go
get
it.
We're almost embarrassed. Like, a lot of the time.
You're going to go get it?
Yeah, but then what happens, what you guys do is then, because we're like, shit, you then don't stop because you're like, if I stop, then it's going to go.
Yeah, and we walk in the door backwards screaming, sorry, 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 sorry.
Yeah. Just so embarrassed about it. Like, I remember the first time we went out there and kind of, people were like asking, oh, so like, what do you do or whatever, just in bars or whatever, just talking to people normally. And obviously, you know, just being from Britain and like, I think London in particular, I play a bit of music. And then eventually they get out, they go, oh my God, you're in a band. That's amazing. I'm like, really? I was just about,
because I've been told if you're in a band that you're like a low life loser who needs to get a job. So it's news to me, but sure, cool.
So that was nice.
Yeah. I guess we were lucky at the beginning that the music was really well known, but we sort of made the decision at the beginning, because it freaked us out a bit, to not really do anything that involved us like publicly unless we absolutely had to.
Yeah.
I don't
really?
Know. I
feel so like you guys never did anything.
We didn't do
like
any
this.
TV. We didn't do, you know, in interviews, we were sort of really kind of closed down and didn't really say much, because I was just like really paranoid about becoming a sort of like a rent-a-gob, opinionated person, because we are quite opinionated, but we were like, no one needs to see that.
Wow.
Your agent probably loved that.
We didn't really do it.
Let's just keep them locked in the room. Yeah. Don't say anything.
But like, I guess we didn't really, stuff like sort of panel shows and being judges on stuff like was all kind of offered to us, but I guess that side of it just wasn't really of interest. So we were able and lucky enough at the time to just, you know, be able to, our music just was reaching people, and that was so surreal.
That is a vibe.
I remember, like, I think the first TV we ever did was the Brit Awards a year after our album came out. Mm. And I think it was the first time we'd ever.
It's when you were nominated, right, for Best Newcomer.
Yeah. And we played, and this is a dickish thing to say, but like, we played and our album went back to number one that week.
Wow.
And I think it was because potentially, like, there was this music that people had heard all year, but they had no idea like where it came from. Like you said, like, is it a band? Like, what is it?
Yeah. It's
like,
oh, it's them.
What the fuck is
this? Yeah. Do you think that mystery almost like kind of helped the success a little bit?
I don't know.
It just kept people like wanting
more. I think our managers and everyone would be like, can you just do some promo?
Please, just do anything more than just make music.
But that's such a unique way, especially at a time where reality TV was rife, like social media was booming, everyone wanted to be known.
It's almost the opposite. It's almost a flip now where people do more promo than like actually.
But now
that's what makes them big, right?
But now people don't want to be known as much. That it's much cooler to not be known. Like, I definitely think we're going through like a dark place where no one is on social media. Like, no one wants to be known about stuff and things like that.
Yeah, but it's interesting in the time since we've been around, like you said, everything from reality TV to then like influencer culture and just people like sharing their lives on social media and the normalization of that. These things have all kind of happened, and we've sort of obviously like flirted with them sort of differently as we've had to.
You've got
traversing it. But yeah, of course. Very active on that. But I had this like, I've got this weird story that I'll try and tell very quickly.
No, tell it. We have ages.
But just about in terms of like seeing that kind of pay off. Mm. So obviously we're lucky enough to tour quite a lot and travel loads, but like Kyle said, in and amongst that, it's kind of hard to get out and do and see stuff just because of how busy it is. Yeah. Anyway, so like a few years ago, I decided with some mates that like every year we'd go to a different country for a few weeks if we had a break and try and like just basically go backpacking, like student style. Mm. And so like 1 year went to India, and like another year went to Zambia, and then most recently, the last time before the world shut down, went to Guatemala and ended up doing this. Me and a couple of friends did this trek in a group where you sort of go basically straight up a mountain for like 8 hours, and it's fucking exhausting. Mm. You get to the top and you camp in a little tent overlooking a volcano that's erupting over the valley, which was pretty nuts.
Yeah. But I was in the bar.
Yeah. How are you doing? Yeah, I'm all right, boys.
It's like, if you're like a backpacker that goes to Guatemala, like that's just one of the things that you do. So it's pretty like well-trodden, whatever. But got to the top and you're meant to go to sleep really early because you then have to get up at 3 a.m. to climb the peak. Mm. But there was, as you're going up the mountain, like one of my friends, she was like, oh, I can't be arsed with this. So she just put on a podcast and listened to an entire series of podcasts walking up. So I was like, all right, I'm going to have to make friends with the rest of the people in the group then. And like Carl said, like we generally sort of shy away from talking about, I know, right? I sort of try and avoid talking about my job to people that don't know what it is just because it takes over the conversation a little bit and like it's kind of awkward and embarrassing.
Yeah.
So I was like making small talk with all these people walking up this mountain for 8 hours. And, you know, classic backpackers, like people from all over the world. There was like a couple from Israel who were on their honeymoon and this Dutch guy that I was chatting to a bunch and like, you know, these girls from Belgium, like whatever. Get to the top. And when we get there, everyone's meant to be going to sleep, but the Dutch guy comes up, he's like, do you want to do an extra trek now? Like the guide who lives up the mountain has said he'll take us like down into the valley, back up again to the sort of mouth of the volcano and we can like watch the lava and stuff. And I was like, I mean, that kind of sounds amazing.
Like, sounds like the beginning
also
of a horror
sounds
movie,
terrifying. Yeah, it sounds like a setup for a horrible film. And also, like, bearing in mind, I'm like very bad at traveling and I'm really disorganized. So I was in like Converse and tracksuit bottoms. Everyone else was in hiking
climbing
gear.
Climbing an 8-hour volcano.
Everyone else is in like full hiking gear. So I was like, oh God, I'm fucking exhausted, but fuck it. Yeah, sure, I'll go. Let's go. I'll join you. So it was.
So you put your parker on.
It was the Guatemalan guy who was like amazing on the
mountain.
Surely
the Dutch guy came.
The Dutch guy.
Yes. Yeah.
The Israeli guy, who's one of a couple, and me. And I had to sort of do the rounds in the camp and borrow, like I brought a head torch off one person and I had to borrow like a waterproof off someone else. So we set off and it's dark. We set off and we sort of trek down, like climbing, traversing rocks, all this stuff. I'm so physically uncoordinated that this was a joke anyway.
I'm exhausted, your Converse.
All of this, and knackered, yeah. And my feet are poking through my Converse. All of this is to get up basically to the other side and see this like hallowed lava. Anyway, so we climb down and we climb back up again and it's absolutely freezing. And we get to the top where we should be able to see the lava and this mist just descends. And so we're in a cloud. And I was like, oh, that's cool for the view. And we can hear the lava passing. And we sit there for like quite a while waiting. And we're like, how long do we give it? Because obviously we've got to be up in like 5 hours to go to there. Anyway, so we're waiting there for a while. And sort of half an hour becomes an hour and a half. And we're like, this cloud's never going to raise. Mm. We can hear the lava. It's right there. Anyway, in and amongst all that, small talk central, obviously, because what are you going to fill the time with? Mm. And eventually, like, I think the Dutch guy was like, so I don't understand. You said that you make music and that you sort of travel a bit, but like, how does that work? Mm. Like, I was like, oh, I guess we've had a couple of songs like on the radio.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
try me. Like, what were the songs? I was like, we have a song called Pompeii. Mm. And he was like, shut the fuck up. No, I was right. Like, he was like, that's not you. And I was like, yeah.
And like, you told him this on a volcano.
I was going to say, yeah, next in active
he
volcano.
He lost his mind. He was like, you're the volcano guy. We're on a volcano. Yeah, yeah. What the fuck? And then the Israeli guy was like, no way. We just had that song at our wedding last week.
Are you serious?
And I was like, whoa, this is insane. Yeah, and then he started playing it off his phone. And the Guatemalan guy who didn't speak any English was like singing along. No, I was like, this is insane. God. And they were like, why are you here? Why are you doing this like weird... trek from a hostel. Like, what the fuck are you doing here? Yeah. just always go back to them. But I guess, like, to sort of cheesify that story, what was wicked was, and then obviously we had to talk about my job loads, which was cringe. But what was really nice about it was that realization that, like, however many years later, we had this like collection of songs that people on all different sides of the world, like, mm-hmm. know these songs, and that's fucking amazing. But they had no idea who I was.
Yes,
they had to prove it to themselves. They had to, like, when we got back to the camp, they had to like Google it and be like, "Oh, that is you." Like, you know. And then you find yourself in a weird position, of, like, defending who you are.
Yeah, no,
it's like, why?
I swear,
if I was to pretend to be someone famous, of all the people in the fucking world, why would I pretend to be Dan from Bastille?
It's when they ask you to prove it, and you're like, and then you find yourself like grabbing for your phone to prove. No. Like,
I don't need to prove this. I don't need to prove this. Any of you fuckers. Dude, that's insane. What I love though is, and again, like you said, perfectly said, to cheesify it, it's amazing that you get to like have an impact on people's lives, like across the world. That is insane. And music, laughter and music, right, brings people together. Mm. And the fact that you can do that at the wedding, it's at a moment, he plays on his phone, all that kind of stuff. Without that, without you being there, you wouldn't have that moment, which is pretty spectacular. Boys, listen, we got to the end of part one there. But what we like to do at the end of part one is leave our listeners on a cliffhanger so they come back for part two.
Ooh, what you got?
Do we have any little... Carl, you've got a cliffhanger.
On a volcano.
On a volcano cliffhanger. Yeah.
You did, before we started, say that we'd need to have something lined up.
I know. Yeah, I did.
It makes sense that I would have one in that case.
I tell you what we can find out. What I really want to know is how you guys first met and how that happened.
Oh yeah, sure.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah,
is that a good one?
How I bribed Carlin to join you.
Yeah. Okay, team, we're going to find out in part two. We'll see you in a little bit. Bye bye.